So here we are. We're together again. Praise the Lord for that. We should treasure every moment that we are, because the world is around us is so busy, is it not? And we can become so busy in the world around us that we miss a lot of things when it comes to the things that God hath provided to us. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. We don't want to miss those things. We don't want to miss what God hath given to us. And so it's important that we take the time to gather together, isn't it? Very important. So this morning, why don't we just open up with prayer? I'll pray for you guys, and I got a song I want to sing, and hopefully you all know it, but we're going to sing it anyway. So Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning in your presence. We have entered into the gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We shout for joy because of who we are in you. We shout for joy because of the promises which we have been given from heaven. We shout for joy because of the Holy Ghost and the remembrance that you bring into our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you stir up our hearts today and that we will be mindful of you in all things and have the mind of Christ in every provision and every thought that comes forth in us, that it be your mind and that it garner into your place, into the place that you have chosen for us to be, the things that are so mighty and powerful in thy name. In Jesus we pray, amen. So the song that I came up with today is Come Bless the Lord, and it's a really simple song, and most of you should know it. I don't know if there's a scripture reference to that or not. There you go. We don't have music, but we don't need music if you can hear the angels sing. Come Bless the Lord. Is that not the right one? It's got some of the words in it, not just like we sing it though, right? Which is typical. A lot of times we sing it where it's convenient for us to say it rather than for the reading of the psalm to, it's pretty close. We use the word house instead of sanctuary, right? Come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. Pretty simple, right? So you just repeat it a couple times and that's it. Come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. Amen? Yeah, we can do it. Praise the Lord, man. So the reason that I'm bringing us back in the mind to these things is because these are things that we can do in the mind of God. In fact, these are the things that put us in a place to receive the Word of God mightily into our hearts. If we're becoming the Word of God, can't we sing the Word of God? Can we pray the Word of God? Can we be the Word of God? That's basically what we're saying. In all those things, we are the Word of God. We are becoming who He is. And I read to you last week in Revelation 19. You can turn there again if you want to. I love the way that it puts it. Well, it's the Word of God. Of course you'll love it. Amen? Listen to this. Well, pages are sticking. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. So who knows his name? Himself. He knows his name. So In the revelation of Jesus Christ, then, what do you learn? You learn your name. You are learning your name. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He knows his name. So what you're being taught in the revelation of Jesus Christ is your name. So how many names are in heaven? One. One name. So in that name is Gabriel. In that name is Michael. In that name are the prophets. In that name are the apostles. Because they're in Christ Jesus. They're all in him. They're in the Word of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying in that? So you're vested in the Word of God. You're becoming the Word of God. That's who you are. Your angel is the Word of God, Frankie. Your angel is not separate from Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. That's important for us to know and to understand. So when we, here's the critical portion of it. This is why we have to understand it that way. Because in an earthly or in a carnal mind, we do not understand what we're becoming. The carnal mind wants to influence our mind as we being separate and distinct from Jesus Christ. We are not separate or distinct from Jesus Christ. We are one in Christ Jesus. We form the body of Christ. And the only way you can form the body of Christ is to be in the same mind and the same judgment. Amen for that? So if I look at, that's why last week I told you also that you cannot disagree with God. If you disagree with God, you have separated yourself from the will of God. I mean, it's just that simple. And it's just that important to you to understand that you can't disagree with God. I was talking to someone this past week, and it was said that they taught their children, and I'm going to be careful how I say this, but I'm going to say it. They taught their children that Jesus never walked in the physical earth. How many of you have said that to someone yourself? Okay. So, I want to tell you something about that. That understanding comes from, how do I want to say this so you begin to understand the thought of that thing? You got that in knowledge. You did not get it from the Holy Ghost. Hear me. You got it from knowledge. You did not get it from the Holy Ghost. A thought like that will come to you based upon working the Holy Ghost, but it didn't come to you by the Holy Ghost. It came to you through knowledge. And so when we use that reference in our mind, What are we doing with the Word of God? We're defiling it. So if I take, let me say it this way to you. Because we possess many thoughts in knowledge that are just like that thought, correct? But I want to remind you of something. Is Christ in you as a physical body? I'm telling you, is Christ in you of a physical body? He is in you. Your body is physical. Is it not? Okay. That's why we have to be careful with what we say, when we say it, and to whom we're saying it to. You understand that? So there's a lot of things that we understand in the Spirit, but the person you're saying it to has absolutely no flipping idea where you're coming from at all. No consciousness of it at all. So when I say it, what happens to the word that I speak to that person? Oh, it's more than confusion. I'm telling you, you just pulled the rug of faith right out from underneath their feet. I'm telling you. I battled this in myself so extensively. In fact, it was that particular thought right there that sowed such a deep offense in me. And I'm glad it did now, because now I understand why not to do it. You understand what I'm saying? I learned why we don't speak that way to people who have no consciousness of where we're coming from. You just do not do it. That's why they can, in their mind, and Bryce, I'll say this for your sake, because we talked about it Wednesday night after everybody else had left. But so in that person's mind who receives that speech, now they think that, well, you're in a cult. And you are not. You are not. But in their consciousness, you are. Oh, man, you were way out in front of God, man. Way out in front of God in the speech. That is a sin. Just, you're right. It is a sin. So it's important that we understand. This is why working it in the Spirit is the value of it. Can I say that again for you? Working it in the Spirit is where it has great value. And if we don't work it in the Spirit before we speak it, what's wrong with it? Yeah, it's not Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. And so the consciousness of it, you're sowing a wrong consciousness of the word you're preaching. That's what I did to a lot. That is what caused a lot of those things to come up. In a work of the flesh, not in the Spirit. So once you learn how to work it in the Spirit, the is-as is clean. But until you can work it in the Spirit, I'm telling you to zip your lip. Because, folks, it's not about you. He knows His name. His name is the Word of God. And if He knows His name, let me ask you something. Can His name be declared? Yeah, I'm telling you, because He knows it. That's why these things are so important. John went through an experience for that to come to him. What was the experience that John, in this chapter, John the Revelator, had an experience? What was the experience that he had that brought him to that declaration in the mind? Oh, he woke up. And saw his angel, right? And he was going to worship the angel. And the angel said, I am as thy fellow servant. Worship me not, worship God. We're going to worship the Lord, aren't we? We're going to worship God, right? So when I go outside the body and I say certain things like the thing I just said, and I'm not going to keep saying that, but we say those things outside the body, we are defiling the body. The Lord's body. Because when we say it, we are not in the right consciousness. That's very important for us to understand. So there are times when the elders take liberties for your sake to sow a word. But the elder has been sent to do that. Okay? And it's very important that you understand some of those things in your own lives today. And we're all praying that that time comes for you as well, correct? And I'm just saying, folks, trust the Lord here. There are things that you should not be taking liberties in until God sends you or sets you apart in order for those things to come forth in you. But by then, you'll be working them in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And whoever you're sowing it to, they will understand, because you will have spoken it with understanding to them. Well, you're going to know. This is what I'm saying. You will know before you open your mouth to say it. So like I'm going to use an example here with Peter. Cornelius was praying. While Cornelius is praying, what's happening to Peter? Yeah, Peter's working the Spirit. Amen? In the working of the Spirit, Peter sees a sheet come down out of heaven with beasts in it. And he won't eat it. God says, eat it. And Peter says, no, not so, Lord. Right? He's three times. God, in the Spirit, had to bring Peter to a repentance. And Peter had to repent in that vision. And once repentance had come to Peter, there was a knock on the door. And he went with those men that came from Cornelius' house. And the whole time that he is in the way with them, Jesus Christ is speaking to him about what he saw. And he saw the beast translated as men. That's the working of the Holy Ghost. So when he opens up his mouth in Cornelius' house, right? First thing he says, why am I here? And Cornelius relates to Peter what he himself saw. Does Peter then know that he and Cornelius are in the same mind? Absolutely. So then Peter opens his mouth to speak, and it comes out, of a truth, God is no respecter of persons. All worked in the Holy Ghost. All worked in the Spirit. Then they could receive it. He preached to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. There's great value in us learning those things. You understand what I'm saying? And when we take it out of the order of God and we work it in the flesh without working it in the Spirit, we sow corruption. Jesus Christ is incorruptible. That's why these things are so valuable and so important for us to learn. And it's very, very important that we do. Amen? Very important. So the person I was talking to, he said, are you reproving me? I said, yes, I am. Because listen, folks, how many know that God has a way? How many know that Jesus Christ is the way? Listen. Did Jesus Christ present his gospel perfectly to every person that heard it? Yes, he did. It was full of grace, full of mercy. Amen? Likewise then, hear me. You cannot emulate grace and mercy through the flesh or through the carnal mind. You can't do it. It is impossible, for it knows it not. It is a liar, and it was a liar from the beginning. So you cannot emulate the things of God or the mind of Christ through the carnal mind. So we take the Word of God apostolically, and we take what God presents to us in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And we relate it unto you for your sake. Paul and Barnabas. Now listen to this. You just listen to me. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. So where were they at, first of all? In the church. What church were they in? The one at Antioch. Just so you know. Okay? But what I'm saying is, when we read, we're not hearing. This becomes very, very important to what I'm going to say to you this morning about what's already been said. Okay? Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. So in that church at Antioch were their prophets and teachers. Okay? As Barnabas and Simon, or Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord. Now listen, what were they doing? Ministering to the Lord. Let me ask you something about Samuel. Samuel's mother gave him to Eli the priest to raise him up to do what? To minister unto the Lord. What are you being raised up to do? The same. That's why you're here, fellow servants. Amen? You are fellow servants, but you are learning how to minister to God. Are you with me? Okay. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work." So now who's speaking to their minds? The Holy Ghost. Is there more than just one person there? Yes. But are they in the same mind? Okay. Important for us to know. "For the work whereunto I have called them." "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So, was something in the Holy Ghost, was something done? What was it? They fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them, and then sent them by the Holy Ghost. Didn't send them by their own mind or because of what they understood in the, you know, because they were puffed up in their knowledge and knew a whole bunch about the Scripture, they sent them out. No. It was all God. Okay? "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Okay? So now, are they under the authority of God through the Holy Ghost? Now, under the authority of God through the Holy Ghost, can you cast out devils? Can you raise the dead? Can you heal the sick? Can you make the blind to see? Can you cause the lame to walk? You can. It is ordained of the Father for that in you. What you have to understand is that you have to learn, and what you're learning is that you have to learn to work it in the Spirit. You have to work it in the Holy Ghost and not in the flesh. The flesh is an emulation of the true and is not real. Let me say it that way for you. Oh man, it can be destructive in the flesh, especially to a mind that has no consciousness from which you're speaking. God forbid. But these are the things that we are all learning. Even your elders have learned it, have had to learn it through the experience of it. And it's a great thing for you that they have. Amen? "And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister." So they go into the synagogues of the Jews. Listen, are there in you, are there many synagogues of the Jews? Does every city in you have a synagogue of the Jew in it? It does. So the part that we don't want to alienate ourselves from is that in the Spirit, in our minds, is the Jew and the Gentile. And yet, a lot of us have not even come to the experience of the place where we know the Jew and we know the Gentile in ourselves. Yet how can we save our world if we don't know the Jew and we don't know the Gentile? Can't do it. That's why these things become of all importance to you to know. Not know in the flesh, to know in the Spirit. And they have been taught to you spiritually, but the consciousness that you're in hasn't received it that way yet. Yet. Okay? Because outwardly I know what a Jew is. They wear them funny little hats and wear them funny clothes and have those funny looking beards and run around saying funny things. And they're wealthy. Wealthy in the terms of man. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So outwardly, I know what a Jew is. Inwardly, do I know what a Jew is? I have a few ideas, okay? Have not experienced the Jew yet. So that's why we're here, correct? Is so that I know that in the Bible, I know what a Jew is. What's a Jew in the Bible? Yeah, keeper of the law. He says, yeah, I'm God's son. I am God's chosen people. I am this, I am that. What's his problem? He only has knowledge of it. He does not have faith. He has no faith. Without faith, can you please God? It is impossible to please God without faith. Can he inherit the promise? No. Without faith, you cannot inherit the promise. So you do know what the Jew is, right? You just haven't allowed your angel to awaken your consciousness to what it is so that you can preach to it. Right? You understand what I'm saying in this? I certainly hope so. Because all of it has been said for you. There's not one thing in it that has not been said for you in prophecy. Not one. It's just that we have not, this is what I'm saying. I've been rehearsing this for several weeks now, in that in our consciousness, we are not allowing God to bring us into his consciousness, into the consciousness of these things where salvation can work and reign forever and ever. But apostolically in the apostles, this is the very thing as to what they were sent to do. Let me go on. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Okay. A Jew who was what? A false prophet, a sorcerer. In other words, he was an emulator. So now, listen. Why is that in the Bible? Oh, it's to teach me how the thought of a Jew can work in my world, and I have to deal with it in Christ. Amen? So, did Christ deal with those things? Yeah, but Christ did it. So that as you grow up into Christ, are you going to be able to deal with it in your world? Amen. That's right, as Christ did. Not as Ellen does, or Connie, or Frankie, or Ted, or John, right? Or Lou and Bryce. Not as those, as Christ did. Amen? But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, withstood them. Oh, so now what's he doing? If he's withstanding them, is he agreeing with God or disagreeing with God? What have I been saying about God and disagreement? You can't. You cannot disagree with God. And yet, if we're emulating God or emulating the Word of God, am I disagreeing with God? I'm in opposition to it. To turn away the deputy from the faith. Oh. So the sorcerer, who is a Jew, works to do what? To turn people away from the faith. Let me ask you something. So when I hear certain things and I take it in knowledge and I want to preach those things to someone else, what am I working in? I am working in a false prophet, a sorcerer, to turn people away from the faith. Never considered that, did we? That's why, how many times have you heard the elders say, you guys preach to your world, but you leave the teaching up to who? Up to the elder. Because until you come into the experience of what we're saying, you just best do it that way. You preach to your world what you hear the elder say, but the rest of it, you leave it to the elder. Very important. That is a commandment from God. I'm telling you. Then Saul, what are you going to preach to your world if you preach something other than what you've heard the elder say? You're going to preach lies. I'm telling you. Stay in that word that has been sent to you. Stay in it. Do not depart from it. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, now listen to this, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief. What did Paul just say he was full of? So is Paul casting an evil spirit out of his own mind? Has he discerned something in himself that has to go away? Yes. How did he know it was there? By the Holy Ghost. He's working it in the Spirit. Thou enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Can you hear the speech that's in? I love these things, man. Here's the bad part. When we hear it, and we know it's being worked in the Spirit for us, correct? You want to go into condemnation, I'm telling you. Because you yourself know that you have worked in subtlety and mischievousness in all unrighteousness before the Lord. Right? That's what you think. Well, I'm telling you, these things have been worked for you already. So what you're hearing now should bring great joy to your frame of mind. Not because of what you think you have done in yourself or as yourself, but what has been done for you in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. You understand what I'm saying here?
Are you saying that we're already delivered from that?
Oh, man. In the Spirit, it has already been worked for you. Believe God. Oh man, I'm telling you, absolutely. Not only is he going to reveal it in the revelation of Jesus Christ, not only has he already revealed it, he's already taught you how to overcome it. That's the part that you're not getting. So when you hear it, you struggle with the flesh. Rather than believing the Holy Ghost, living in the Holy Ghost to where it's already been done and the discernment's already been made, and already made you free from it. We would rather receive it in a consciousness to where, oh, I got to get this done in my life here. I got to get this guy overcome in myself. No. It's already overcome in Jesus Christ. That's correct. Very true. And that's what, well, but listen, folks, if you didn't have a thought of condemnation, Correct? If you didn't have it, would you know that you're in your own mind and not in the mind of Christ? Okay. This is important. If I go into a thought of condemnation, I know I am not in the mind of Christ. Get out of it. Yeah. So even as it's being preached to you and condemnation comes up, is there not another mind being preached that you can come into and not listen to the mind that you take? Yes. Very important for you. So a lot of times, if I can go into the consciousness of salvation where it's being preached, the revelation of it, amen? So let me ask you, in this part of the scripture that we're reading here, did Paul go into condemnation? No. He stayed in the mind of Christ knowing it could be overcome. And now he's speaking directly to it with the power of the Holy Ghost. And listen to this. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season, and immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So what happened to the sorcerer? Well, he was already blind, but now he is aware of what? He's aware of his blindness. What brought him into the awareness of his being blind? The Word of God by the Holy Ghost. Now he has to ask, I need somebody to lead me. I'm telling you.
Well, that's happened to us.
You tried to make yourself God before you were. That's what I'm saying. Without the consciousness, without living in the consciousness of the Lord, right? Man, we just make mistake after mistake. I'm telling you, God hath come so that you don't live in that anymore. You don't even have to live in the condemnation of it. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? I think it is. I think it's pretty great. Then the deputy, now listen. So now there's a deputy there, right, that they're talking to. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So what causes you to turn? Being astonished at the doctrine. You see the Word of God. You see the power of it by the Holy Ghost. And you believe. That's pretty awesome. So in the mind of the Holy Ghost, is that where belief works? Yeah. That's where belief works. We try to work it in the flesh trying to get in. Hasn't, and this has been said for many weeks now, right? Yeah, we're working it backwards, right? Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So now it's going to go in, they go into the sanctuary in Perga, and they ask if anybody has a exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stands up. Now, this is why Brian asked me to read it, because was Paul there when Stephen was stoned to death? Was he consenting unto his death? Yeah. Just like he consented unto the Lord's death, correct? So Paul was consenting unto the death of the Word of God. Why was that? Because it was a contradiction to what he thought himself. Okay? So Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost? Let me ask you that question first. Was he sent of the apostles? Was he a deacon? Yes. Full of the Holy Ghost. He had shown forth the works of God through the Holy Ghost. So he was one of seven set apart by the elders and sent. Correct? So was the Word of God working in him in power? So when he stood before the people, how did they perceive him? As an angel. They perceived his, they looked on his face and they perceived him as an angel of the Lord. Yeah, they still killed him. But not before he testified of the one true God. And the reason that the testimony went forth, and this is in Christ, this is by the Holy Ghost, amen, was to sow a seed into the Apostle Paul, to Saul. Saul was there, was he not? Where was Stephen's robe cast? At Saul's feet. In other words, that word that was sown was not going to return to God void. It's amazing what can come to pass in the Holy Ghost when you learn how to work in the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? When you learn to work in the Holy Ghost, is the will of God going to be known? Yes, it is. So Saul is on his way, right? And on his way are his eyes opened to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yep, they are. And he knows because of the seed that was sown by Stephen, right? Through the mouth of God's anointed, same. So through God's anointed, whom is Christ, correct? So the angel that they saw, who was he? He was Christ. So through the anointed, that word that fell at Paul's feet that he could not escape from that moment on, did it come up? Did that seed bear fruit? So that when the Lord spoke his name to Saul, did Saul know it was the Lord? Who knows his name? The Lord does. And he can declare his name. I am the Word of God. Before Abraham, I was, and I am, and I shall be. And Paul could only say one thing, or Saul could only say one thing. What will you have me to do? Isn't it hard to kick against the pricks? You all testify to me that it is. In fact, y'all testify to me that you want to stop doing it. So, isn't that true? Is that true or not true? You all testify to me of that very thing. And yet, the very word that fell at Saul's feet, has it not fallen at yours? I'm telling you, that's why you're here. You have seen the face of the angel. I'm telling you. It has been declared unto you. Even the consciousness of it, John, has been set forth. Is that not mighty or what? That's right. So all the things that Stephen rehearsed in that seed that fell at Paul's feet, Paul now stands in the synagogue at Perga and he begins to repeat the testimony of the Word of God that fell on him, word for word. So Stephen was likened unto whom? Christ. So the word that fell on Paul, was it likened unto Christ? So the testimony that Stephen and Paul had, was it the name of the Lord? Doesn't Paul write, when it pleased the Father to reveal His Son in me, in the Galatian epistle, right? Wow. This is why we are here. This is why we put ourselves in a place to hear the Word of God. God is the perfecter. Amen? The flesh can never perfect you. In fact, the flesh will never even work the Spirit. So how can it work perfection? It can't. It can take the Word of God and defile it, but it can't take the Word of God and work it in the Spirit. It can't do it. It's a different spirit. What spirit is it? It's a lying spirit. It's the spirit, okay, it's the spirit of Satan. We know that, right? So Paul writes in the Corinthian epistle that there's two spirits. Spirit of man that is in him that cannot know God, and the Holy Spirit that knows the deep things of God. The Holy Ghost is telling you and showing you the way into the deep things of God. But you have to come into the consciousness by that same word to see it and hear it, and not try to go in yourself after it. You heard on Sunday nights, they've been talking a lot about dreams, amen? Okay? How many people have tried to interpret their own dreams? I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to give you a commandment this morning. Stop it. Don't do it. Don't chase it. Do not do it. You will become an accuser of the brethren in yourself. That's what you will do. Hear me, please. I beg of you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. And the things that we've talked about this morning become of great concern for you when you try to do things alone or on your own, apart from the Holy Ghost. Amen? It is needful for you to be where you are right now. I'm just telling you. There's many things that you're being helped to discern, right? You're discerning many things by the word of the elder. And that's why it's so important for you to put yourself in a place to see and hear these things and to know them. Praise God, man. God is so faithful to us. He is so faithful to us. And His mercy is without end. Even David, when he sinned against the Lord and numbered Israel, correct? Did God bring a devastation upon Israel because of the sin of David? Yes. But what did God give David? Three choices. What did David choose? He chose mercy because he knew he served a merciful God. So this morning, in the speech that I've given unto you this morning, right? In the language by the Holy Ghost that has come forth to you this morning, correct? I know that it raises up a contradiction in your mind in condemnation. Fall on the mercy of God. If David chose mercy, can't you not? Can you not choose mercy? And in that mercy, can you make a sacrifice and praise God, rejoice in the Holy Ghost? You can. I'm telling you, not only can you, I'm telling you, you better. So I'm telling you, listen. I'm going to declare again for you what was declared before at the conference in Visalia. It's high time to awaken out of sleep. I declared it last week. I'm declaring it again to you this morning. It's high time to awaken out of sleep. God reigns from heaven above. R-E-I-G-N-S. He reigns from heaven above in power. Hear me, in power. You know what? I find this a marvelous thing. The world tries to emulate a powerful God and cannot do it. They try. And take religion even out of that statement. And they still try to reign with power from on high and cannot do it. They can't change this world. This world is what it is, and it can't be changed. It is the same as it was in the beginning. It is defiled. And we try all sorts of spooky things to try to change it. Whether we be environmentalists, whether we be conservationists, conservatives, liberals, whether we be doctors, lawyers, whether we be utility workers, gym instructors, social workers, it doesn't matter. No matter what, how we try to change our world through the flesh, we can't do it. Not possible. We can even say, quote, cute little phrases, what would Jesus do? And not change our world. We can even sing and go into such an emotional frenzy that we think we're filled with the Holy Ghost and not be. We think we can speak in tongues and have all the understanding of the Word of God and not be able to change one thing. But when I learn how to work the Holy Ghost, when I learn how to work the Spirit by the Holy Ghost, let me say that rightly, when I learn it and I do it, my world is changed forever. Are all of you in my world? I'm telling you, this is why we don't pastor. This is why we work the Holy Ghost. Pastoring sucks anyway, just so you know. And that's not a bad word, okay? Because listen, it doesn't help you. It enables you. Pastoring enables you to be what you are in the flesh. We're not doing that. We are after something far greater than your flesh. Right on? We're not after your flesh. My wife, I love her very much. But I am not looking forward to the day that I see her in heaven as that body right there. Not looking forward to that day. Sorely disappointed. I am looking forward to the day when she sees herself as God sees her. As a ministering spirit, as the Word of God. That's the day. That's the day I rejoice. And that's the way it is for every soul in my world, is to see it turned into what God says it is. We were in the we were up at the hot springs Friday night. I'm going to tell you what, there was not a cloud in the sky anywhere. The stars were magnificent. I mean, it was truly magnificent. You could see every constellation. You could see stars beyond stars. And if you'd have had a telescope, no telling how many stars were there. I mean, it was just magnificent. I wish I had my binocs, and because it was spectacular. And the only thing I could think about looking up at those stars was the seed that God has sown. He told Abraham, "Abraham, so shall thy seed be." Abraham, can you tell me, can you number those stars in heaven up there? So shall thy seed be. That's amazing. So in Christ, so shall thy seed be. Is that not awesome? I'm telling you, folks, everything that the elders tell you, everything that they say, is at the doorstep for you. Christ is knocking at your door. Doesn't it say in Revelation, the third chapter, if you open the door, what's he going to do? He's going to come in and sup with you. And as he sups with you, what's he going to do for you? Give you his throne. That's what it says. Which is his mind, I'm telling you. That's the mind of Christ. As my Father hath given it to me, so I give unto you. Is that not? What more do you need, right? These things are amazing. God's amazing. Is he not? He's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. And there's only one. I read to you out of Isaiah last week some pretty great things, didn't I? And we ended in the book of Revelation. I can tell you from beginning to end, there's only one. So be it. God is true. God bless you this morning.